It's 4:05 Sunday, February 9th, 2020. 1,116 days into the Trump administration, 268 days until the re-election of Donald Trump. What a week. And you thought it was hard to keep up with the news during Obama's reign of terror. That's life at the speed of Trump. Let's get right into it all next on the best hour in radio, the Article 5 Hour. Oh yeah, and now from the Uptown Phoenix studios of Independent Talk 1100 KFNX, it's live radio without a net. Welcome to the Article 5 Hour. I'm J.D. Smith, your host. Thanks for joining us this afternoon for fact-based adult political commentary. Big shout-out and thanks goes out to Mitt Romney for throwing the 2012 race so that we have Donald Trump in 2016. That was the likely result of Romney throwing the 2012 race. And the next thanks goes out to Mitt for ending his political career last week. We're very happy he did that. Because a man with his severe lack of character does not belong in politics. Unfortunately, we have many low character people in politics, but it shouldn't be that way. And so, thanks Mitt for ending your career and showing us what you truly are. Now the other thing about Mitt Romney is, if you recall, in the year 2012, I believe, in the city of Las Vegas, Nevada, I believe it was, at a rally or a speech or something in Romney's career, he literally licked the boots of Donald J. Trump for help, for his, getting his endorsement for president in 2012. This just shows you what kind of a man Mitt Romney is. The other thing about that is, bearing that in mind, what he's been saying about the president and being the only senator in American history to ever vote for an impeachment against a president or anyone else of the same party. So thanks for making history, Mitt. We'll remember you for a long, long time for who and what you really are. And to the good people of Utah, that's all I'm going to say. All right. Trump's masterful State of the Union address begins with the snub to Nancy Pelosi not shaking her hand. Absolutely ingenious. I've never before seen a 79-year-old woman as petulant as a 9-year-old. But President Trump knew that, which is precisely why he didn't shake her hand. Because he knew the ridiculous mouth movements and things that were going to happen go on behind him while he was giving the most momentous State of the Union speech in American history. So that in and of itself is very, very interesting. Don't you agree? Of course you do. But as the night wore on and the speech developed, our president did some things during that State of the Union that's never been done before, including, of course, awarding our friend and mentor and solid rock broadcaster, Rush Limbaugh the Presidential Medal of Freedom live through his wife at the State of the Union. How do you get political theater any better than that? And what made it so good is not just the fact that he did it, but it was genuine, and it was deserved, and it was totally appropriate. It was just masterful. Just like bringing the soldier home and reuniting him with his family right there at the State of the Union. Just like bringing up this, the airman and the brigadier general and his grandson that wants to be in the Space Force. Absolutely wonderful. Just like bringing up the young man who used to be addicted to drugs and now has gainful employment and his life's on track due to opportunity zones, the bill that Senator Tim Scott thought up and President Trump backed, and it all went through, and those are happening throughout our country. And I probably miss some other absolutely masterful aspects of the State of the Union, but I got to tell you, I've never seen or heard anything like it. And President Trump just keeps getting better and better at being President of the United States as each day goes by. And this is lost on our friends in the Democrat Party as well as the media. But dare I be that redundant? Anyhow, Pelosi's major fail, there's many of them, but the latest ones probably assured the Republicans control the House come January 2nd of 2021. Because there isn't anyone I know that thought it was appropriate for her to tear up the speech on camera. Not just that. The ingracious comments afterwards when questioned about it by the press. I don't think anyone's pleased with her. And I don't think she's pleased with herself because she allowed this squad, or I like to call them the squat, along with the media to bully her into this ridiculous impeachment effort, which she knew better. She absolutely knew better. Now I've heard all kinds, you've heard President Trump say, she meant to do it all along. Yes, she wanted to do it, but she wanted to wait until she had more to go on than what they gave her. She was hoping there was more to go on than what they gave her. She believed there was more to go on but what they gave her. But when she knew that what they gave her wasn't enough to do this on. So she's also pissed at herself. So you put all those things together and a petulant 79-year-old on drugs that acts like a 9-year-old and you got Nancy Pelosi. And she is two heartbeats away from the presidency. Yes, indeed, we are in a very dangerous state of affairs here in the United States of America. Trump's prayer victories and victory lap speeches were not BS. I got to tell you something. This president really knows how to change modes and be appropriate for whatever venue he's in. When he's given the State of the Union, he's a masterful statesman for the United States of America. When he's doing a victory lap and poking the eye of his Democrat enemies, there's no one better than that. No one funnier either. If you listen to that stuff, he was absolutely hilarious going on about Jim Jordan and others. The comments he had, you couldn't help but laugh out loud listening to the president. It's just amazing. All right. Draining the swamp begins with Ambassador Sondland and Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. And, you know, these people, I was definitely disappointed to hear that Vindman wasn't fired completely. He was just moved out of the White House into the Pentagon. That was very disappointing to hear that. I was hoping he was gone completely. But there's much more to come. You know, Skokovo, remember that name? The Clintons' Uranium One stolen hypersonic missile technology by the Russians. Half a billion finding its way through those channels into the Clinton Foundation. If you want to know more about this, go to danbongino.com. He's got it all laid out in chronological order. We'll go over the Iowa disgrace and the Democrats next. We have James Copeland here to help us sort all this stuff out. Don't you go anywhere. It's the Article 5 Hour. I'm J.D. Smilis, your host on this Sunday afternoon. We'll be right back. Back to the Article 5 Hour. I'm J.D. Smith, your host. It's Sunday afternoon. You know it's time for the Article 5 Hour. When that happens, you can catch us on the Article 5 Hour Facebook page live from the engineering room or my personal Facebook page from the studio, J-O-N-S-M-A-Y-L-I-S on Facebook, broadcasting live right now, or the Article 5 Hour YouTube channel as well. Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. 1100 on your AM dial. And also, don't forget, the Article5Hour.com also has the Article5Hour YouTube channel feed coming your way. We're here in studio to go over, we talked about a lot already and we'll hit that with our guest later. But first of all, what we want to do is we want to talk a little bit about what I'm calling the Iowa disgrace. The Iowa disgrace is a thing that's been, the punditry has made the, you know, somewhat funny analogy and joke that if they can't count votes, how are they going to run the government and various variations on that. And I say it's much more insidious than that. Iowa's lack of being able to count the votes was a way to hide Bernie's popularity. Because they're trying to save and prop up their safe candidate, Joe Biden, who is currently nearly out of the race. I would say after New Hampshire, he might be done unless some weird twist of events happens, which often does in these things. But here to help us sort all this stuff out is Mr. James Copeland. You know he has credentials longer than my arm, so I'll just let him get right into it. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, J.D. You know, during the 14th century, monks and Catholic priests used to scourge themselves by beating themselves with birch branches. They wanted to punish the flesh, which was weak, and that was a form of penance. Now, I looked around Maricopa County, and I didn't find any birch trees, so I made myself... watch the Democratic debate and then also the rerun of the Democratic debate. So why don't you pick a candidate and we can take them in turn.
All right. Pete Buttigieg.
All right. Now, I understand from some of the left-wing media, Pete is starting to be called the new JFK. And I think that's ridiculous. I knew JFK, and he's no JFK. And I'll tell you the two reasons he's not JFK. Number one, his father doesn't have enough money to buy the election. And number two, his wife is gay, and so is he. I think this person has captured part of the moderate wing, which is irritating Joe Biden no end, because Pete won the Iowa caucus and gave Joe Biden a punch in the gut.
Indeed, and you know, I was listening to Savage, and he asked the question, is America ready for a gay president? And particularly from the Democrat side, the answer is absolutely not, because as you know, the unspoken truth, unspoken by the mainstream media about, Hispanic culture and Black culture in the United States of America is very macho, and they are unaccepting of homosexuality which has been crammed down our throat now for a good number of decades by Hollywood and other media sources, but that has not affected minority cultures in the United States of America. They really don't care for that stuff. And no Democrat's going to win without a whole bunch of minorities voting for them. Go ahead.
That's exactly correct. You see, these minorities, they want to have center stage. They want a black president or a black vice president. They want a Hispanic vice president. The women want at least a woman vice president, if not a woman presidential candidate. They're going to be very angry if the gay population, which is part of the coalition of the Democrats, but a very small part compared to the blacks, the women, and the Hispanics, if these gays nudge in before them, you're going to see a lot of anger.
Bernie Sanders.
Okay, now Bernie started something that was very interesting. The Lilliputians on the stage tied down the Gulliver in the race, Michael Bloomberg, and started to nibble at his flesh. Or to mix metaphors, the metaphor is that the elephant in the room finally was noticed. Bernie said, no one should be able to buy the presidency. And Elizabeth chipped in too. No one can buy the presidency. I think this is a very odd argument for them to make, because Bernie and Elizabeth are both trying to buy the presidency in a different way. Instead of spending their money, like Bloomberg or Trump, to be nominated and elected, they don't have that money. So they're promising everybody everything so that those people will vote for them, expecting a prize. Free college tuition, eliminating student debt, medical care for all. And by the way, does that include dental and vision? Bernie is as shameless in trying to buy the presidency as Bloomberg.
Now, I heard the president say of Bernie Sanders either last week or the week before that, you know, at least he believes what he says. And I have to disagree with the president there. I believe Bernie Sanders is one of the biggest, hugest frauds that there ever was. Now, maybe he believes that these policies are what we should do in the United States of America, but he doesn't for one second believe that he belongs under the lash of his own punishment, which are his policies. He wants to be the elite and lord over the rest of us. Your thoughts?
Well, certainly he bought a huge home on Lake Pontchartrain after his first run. He has book deals in the wings. He certainly wants to be in the elite. And he wants to punish other elites, the millionaires and the billionaires. But let me tell you something. They're not going to stand for the punishment. And I have two words to say to you. Eduardo Saverin. This man was Mark Zuckerberg's partner. But Peter Thiel and a number of people on the West Coast got a hold of some Facebook stock and convinced Zuckerberg to freeze Eduardo out. So Eduardo sued, and although we can't know the exact amount because that's secret because of the settlement, most financial writers say it was worth more than $100 million for Saverin's part of Facebook and to go away. Now, what did Saverin do before he signed that agreement and collected the million? The $100 million? He moved to Hong Kong. These people aren't going to stay around and be taxed to death by Bernie. Look at one of the prominent Democrats, the man that was the king of Microsoft, Bill Gates. Where is his country's corporate domicile? Ireland, where they have no taxes.
Faux Cahontas.
Well, now, this is interesting that you mention her name, because I've called her Pocahontas for years and gotten a lot of trouble with some of my liberal friends. But I'll tell you something. I had the goods on Elizabeth from the very beginning. Here are the facts. Elizabeth Warren's...
Well, she's truth-challenged. That's number one.
Well, I'm going to get to that, or you can get to that, but here's the history of this. Elizabeth Warren... She married Mr. Warren. Her name was Elizabeth Herring. She graduated from Klassen High School in Oklahoma City in 1952. She was the state debate champion in Oklahoma. Klassen, like all of the schools in Oklahoma at that time, was rigidly segregated. There were black schools and other kinds of schools, But the Lily White School, the rich kids' white school, was Klassen. Klassen would never have allowed a black, a Hispanic, or any Native American to even be in that school during those years of segregation. And yet she claimed she had all this Indian blood in her and got a huge scholarship to Harvard.
Isn't that special? You know, not to mention lying about being fired for being pregnant and these other, her dad was a janitor, which her own brother says is BS. You know, it goes on and on. And just, she's just not likable. And she's another 71-year-old white woman. I mean, there's a problem there. Now we'll get to the rest of the candidates after, the news, but unless you can, in 10 seconds sum up Joe Biden.
He got a punch in the gut, but not the first one, and we can discuss the others after the news.
All right. Hey, hang on for CBS News, you guys, and we'll, now my engineer shaking his head no. What's up, Norm? Oh, sorry. Okay, well, normally it's CBS News on the hour. On the top of the hour at CBS News. Westwood 1.5 hours. It's the Article 5 Hour. I'm J.D. Smealy, your host. We'll be back with much more with our guest, James Copeland. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. Just
like it happened. You heard it all before, but I'm gonna say it again. Time is running out. The means justifies the end. Everybody knows you gotta make your stand.
And we're back on the Article 5 Hour. My good friend James Copeland is sitting riding shotgun with us here in studio, and he reminded me of what I missed about the masterful State of the Union speech. Once again, this is like the fifth home run for President Trump. He announced the granting of a scholarship to a young little black kid from Maryland who was denied one by a law signed into law by the Democrat mayor, governor of Maryland, right in front of God, everybody else, and everybody's going to vote in the United States of America is probably watching that State of the Union. And, you know, even, Van Jones, the former Green Party activist, Obama operative, that was even too radical for the Obama administration, now he's on CNN, pointed out that, you know, Donald Trump is really appealing to the black community in the United States of America with substantive things. And that's not a quote from him, but that was the gist of his commentary after the State of the Union. So, you know, hey, forgive me for forgetting number 5 of the home runs hit by our president in the State of the Union, which was an absolutely monumental speech for Donald J. Trump.
Well, Trump got a twofer there because that kind of presentation tugs at the heartstrings of suburban, educated women who are supposed to be the swing group in this next election.
I don't know any women, except for one liberal friend I have, that aren't going to vote for Trump. I know none. They all. And, you know, I go hiking a lot, and the fitness crowd is not generally the most conservative, okay? And I wear my Trump hat out on the trail. And, you know, I get 4 or 5, hey, thank you for supporting our president. Hey, I like that hat. You know, and that wasn't like that a while ago, but that's how it is now. And you know, it's just a wonderful thing. Let's get back to these disastrous Democrat candidates in Iowa. We'll talk about the mechanics of Iowa after we get done. But you were just about to give us some Joe Biden commentary.
When Joe Biden got to New Hampshire and finally the results started leaking out that he was a sagging fourth, he said this was like a punch in the gut. But you see, this wasn't the first punch in the gut that's doing in his candidacy. There have been more difficult to take punches in the gut. Number one, the silence from Camp Obama. Number two, Camp Obama going out and recruiting Duval Patrick to get in the race. Number three, the impeachment trial, where he and his corrupt son were mentioned almost as much time as the President of the United States. And finally, the new book that's making all of the bookstores sell out, and the author of the book go on all the big talk shows that say that Biden, his brother, and his son are among the most corrupt politicians in American history.
Indeed, and wait till it all comes out how that ties into Skokovo and the Clintons and Uranium One and stolen technology and all the money into the Clinton Foundation and Obama's secret war with Russia through the Ukraine. This is going to break open and completely change the complexion of Obama's claim that he had a scandal-free administration. It's just such a joke. Now, we have to mention Michael Bloomberg, the 9,000-pound gorilla in the room that nobody's talking about.
That is correct, and he's entering after South Carolina and Nevada in the Super Tuesday massive primaries, and my gut feeling is he may sweep the board and sweep out all of the trash, because his poll numbers now have passed 10%. Now, you remember that Elizabeth is at 14%, and, of course, Amy's at 12%, and we've got Mayor Pete and Joe in the low 20s. He continues to advertise, and he's going to be attacked more now by the people on the stage, because he's going to be on the stage in the next debate, and this has caused the debate establishment on the DNC side to be roundly criticized by their own captive media, because they changed the rules to let him in when they wouldn't let in people like Cory Booker and others who were just missing the... See, you have to have a certain number of independent small contributions, and you have to have meet other criteria. Bloomberg comes in with all of his money, and he didn't meet any of them.
And the special significance of what you just pointed out is this. Usually, when what's not unusual is the Democrats changing the rules in the middle of the game. What is unusual is when they apply it to their own party, because usually they're doing that to catch the Republicans in some kind of a trick bag. But now, they're doing it to themselves, and it really is chaos on the Dem side right now.
Well, I will say, at one time I thought that there could be a very close race between Bloomberg and Donald Trump, because Bloomberg, of course, will carry the large states like California and New York and so on. But now, after seeing what Bernie said in the debate, I believe that the Bernie bros, the people behind Bernie, and the radical feminist women behind Elizabeth, will be so angered by this man coming in and buying the nomination when he wasn't very good in New York to blacks. He wasn't very good in New York to appointing women and so on. And he could be in big trouble by a lot of people sitting on their hands on Election Day.
Well, let us take a little bit of examination on the debacle that was the vote counting process in the Iowa caucus. Now, it's my contention that this was no real accident. What they were doing, it had nothing to do with the app or this or that or the other. What it had to do with is their candidate, Joe Biden, finished so poorly, they were trying to scramble to figure out a way how to cover that up or shift enough votes around or do something to mitigate that horrific result of the Iowa caucus. Your comments?
I'm not sure I share that theory as much as you do. I think, however, what is unforgivable is they bought this app for $70,000 or something like that, that was supposed to make the results come into the media faster and get more publicity for themselves as the first in the nation caucus and so important and everything out there in that little state. And they didn't even test it. And then they ended up telling people, well, we have the paper ballots, which was a good idea, and if anything happens with his app, call us in. Well, now, here's some dirty tricks that is being talked about in the media. That phone number leaked out, and a lot of other people were calling in to jam it, and some of the precinct captains couldn't get through, and they never could get any results. And I'll tell you, I was never happier than watching MSNBC and CNN sit there for hours with egg on their face and having no results.
Watching MSNBC and CNN, boy, you are into self-punishment, aren't you?
I didn't know
you were that into that stuff, Jim.
I'm like a 14th century monk. I'm just scourging myself.
Well, I do it occasionally too, and I've actually not had the television on any news stations for the last week or week and a half. I just can't do it. I listen to audio media and watch YouTube and these kinds of things. I can't take the TV anymore. Fox News doesn't even appeal to me any longer. I don't know. I'm going through a major change. I can't stand that much BS for that long a time. And like I said at the opening, life at the speed of Trump, I mean, it's hard to keep up with. I thought we were under assault with information in the negative way under the Obama regime. I mean, it was a new negative every day. Now we have Trump, and things are just happening so quickly. Very hard to keep up with.
Even NPR is violently anti-Trump now.
Well, I've never had too much respect for them. But anyway, we're back. We'll be back after the last break here in the Article 5 Hour with some final notes, and we'll wrap this thing up. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. Alright, welcome back to the Article 5 Hour. I'm J.D. Smalley, your host, and I appreciate your listenership. And just a quick programming note. You know, in the 4.5 years I've been on the air here on KFNX, I've never asked you guys to do this. But what I'd like you to do is this coming week, I'd like you to, if you like this radio broadcast, and you'd like me to keep doing it, and you like what's going on here on Sunday afternoons on your airwaves here in the fifth largest AM radio market on planet Earth, why don't you call KFNX and tell the management, hey, we like that show, the Article 5 Hour, and we want to keep it on the air. Let the management of this station know you're listening. Now, I know you're listening because last week we had a couple of phone calls during the Super Bowl. So I know you're out there, but if you like this radio broadcast and all the things that we bring you here on Sunday afternoon, let this radio station know. Call KFNX and not the listener line. What number should they call there, Norm?
Okay, it's area code 602-277-1100.
602-277-1100. Let them know you like the Article 5 Hour. I've never asked you to do that before in 4.5 years. I'm asking you to do it now. And I appreciate that very much. Okay. And I want to tell you my quick little rush story before time gets away from us here on the Article 5 Hour. Now, as most of you that listen a lot to this radio program, you know that I've been listening to talk radio for well over half a century. Okay. So I've heard every host there is. And maybe not all the local ones, but all the major ones. And I know them very well. So, along about the time, I'm going to say it was 1992, I heard Rush Limbaugh on his nationally syndicated radio program for the first time. And what he said stopped me in my tracks and whipped my head around to the radio. And I listened to him rattle off a couple of sentences. And I thought to myself, oh, that guy's in trouble. You can't say that stuff on the AM radio. He's done for. But I couldn't stop listening either, because his excellence in broadcasting. And I've been a Rush listener ever since. And countless very successful radio talk show hosts have very, very popular shows as a result of Rush Limbaugh reviving the AM radio band and saving the FM band too. Now, if you go over to Europe, you don't even have AM anymore. But AM is alive and well and more popular than ever in the United States of America. Why? Because of Rush Limbaugh. That's why. And not only that, Rush is a patriot. You may not agree with Rush, and he's not right all the time. No one is. But I got to tell you something. One thing you can't deny, he's a patriot. He loves this country, and he cares about what happens to you and your family. And that is a genuine article. He's a genuine article. And keep him in your prayers when he has this horrible fight against stage 4 lung cancer, okay? Thank you for letting me share my Rush story. And I've been, you know what? He's just... He's an amazing guy. He really is. And he deserves our prayers and thoughts and prayers with his new new challenge that he's up against. And he's had several in the past. So, with that housekeeping out of the way, we have a couple more points that Mr. Copeland would like to share with you before we run out of time in this broadcast.
During the impeachment hearings, a word that was used over and over by the Democrats was the word corruption. Donald Trump is the most corrupt president in American history.
He's violating the Constitution.
That is correct. He, one interesting thing is that early on in his presidency, he was a businessman. He owned hotels and golf courses and so on. And the elites apparently thought that the only people that could rise to high office were people that went to Eastern universities and spent their life serving in the government. But this man was a businessman. He's not going to sell all of his businesses. I mean, he's going to have a life after the White House, and he wants to leave his business to his children. But he was corrupt, so a number of senators and representatives, 200, sued him in the District Court of Columbia for violating the Emoluments Clause. Now, the Emoluments Clause in the Constitution was put in by the framers because they didn't want American presidents to be bribed by foreigners, foreign kings, or foreign oligarchs. It has nothing to do with owning a business. A business in a free society, in a capitalist society, should be celebrated. And the District Court, 3-0, in the most liberal district in the country, even worse than District 9 out in California, 3-0 threw the case out of court.
Now, despite that, James, and you're 100% right about everything you just said, we live in a world now where the left makes their own reality. It doesn't matter what the truth is to these people. And most of our public is not willing to dig past the first layer of things. So they tend to believe what they hear in media as being how it is. This is why we're in such a sorry state of affairs politically in this country, because not only did they stop teaching us civics in school, but they lie and they say the truth is a lie and a lie is a truth. Every single day we're assaulted with this. So things such as you said are lost on most people, but thankfully not the district court mentioned there. But usually, hey, it wouldn't have surprised me if those judges would have upheld it, because things like that get upheld in district courts all the time. What is, you show me in the Constitution where a president of the United States is allowed to be not only enjoined, but stayed by a district court. And where is the mechanism in the Constitution that allows that? Show it to me. I'll give you $1,000 right now.
There isn't any. And if you look at the issue of the Emoluments Clause, all of our early presidents had businesses. They all ran plantations. George Washington, Mount Vernon.
George Washington made liquor and all kinds of other things that he did to make money. Absolutely.
And we've had other businessmen like Herbert Hoover become president of the United States. And don't you think that FDR, from a wealthy family, had a lot of business investments and so on? I would much rather have a man who was a hotelier and everything was public than have Bill Clinton with the Shady Clinton Foundation keeping everything under wraps and controlling billions of dollars.
I had our friend can't think of his name right now, but the author of the books, a former Secret Service agent, said that he remembered a show where the Trumps, when he was a developer, his biggest competitor in the area came on television and said, you know, the worst thing about the Trump empire is competing against him because you can't find anything that he did wrong. That's the worst thing. And, you know, there's no way to go after him because he did everything right. And that's coming from his financial enemy that are trying to take over the top spot of development in the Eastern Seaboard there. So, you know, it's an amazing thing how the truth is twisted when the First Amendment is used to push an agenda that is antithetical to the Constitution of the United States. That's what we have going as a phenomena in this country right now. And let me add that they have successfully turned Arizona blue. Now that should scare the crap out of you because this is Arizona, okay? But Arizona has 6 out of 11, federal representatives are Democrats. Arizona's blue, change it back to red. Dave Giles for Congress, secure.winred.com/Dave Giles/JD or bit.ly/3A ZXI W. May God continue to bless you and the United States of America. Thank you, James Copeland. I'll be back next week with another edition of the best hour in radio, the Article 5 Hour. Until then, let's keep making America great again. I'm coming home, honey.